With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode in a Celtic Now and for a podcast. My name is Ryan Cofford. And this is the reaction podcast to what's been happening recently. Obviously, regarding Neil Lennon's interview, and obviously, the bygate again has come up regarding Neil Lennon's interview. So there's a lot to speak about. And on the panel this week, joining me is Sammy and Robert. Sammy, Robert, how are you doing, guys?
Good, Ryan, thanks.
All right, Ryan. Good, man.
Well, obviously, boys, it's been a turbulent few days again following Celtic. It's been a turbulent season. Really, kind of, obviously, I've moved ahead of your own a little, Sammy. So, what's your kind of thoughts recently about what's been going on at Celtic Park?
Where do you start? I think, as we said just before we came on there, it's been a bit of a comedy show. If it was any other club, you'd be howling laughing. You wouldn't believe it. We seem to kind of stumble from one mess up into the next one. I don't know, if you didn't laugh, you'd beat it, I suppose.
Aye, definitely. It just seems every day we're waiting up and there's something in the news or there's something popping up on Twitter. And I think we spoke about it as well, Robert, that every day now is just we're scared to look at our phones and just scared to what's coming next.
Definitely, Ryan. It's a total circus act. If you ask me, we've already spoke about it, mate. We just, every day, you're just negative shits in the papers, online, on radio. It's just, there's got to be an end to it. We've got to get our act together and really change things about, from top to bottom, as we've already spoke about. I just feel, we knew Lennon, there's a lot of points I agreed with on him. I think he was wrong in how he brought it across. And I think the club as a whole, everybody's doing things differently in different directions because we had John Kennedy coming out and telling us that in the media, Dubai was a good thing. We then had Scott Brown out in the media telling us Dubai was a good thing. We then had Peter Lawwell apologising in the media. And then now we've got Neil Lennon defending Dubai. There's no everybody in it together. It's just all PR disasters and make statement after statement. They're no doing it as a one club type of thing. I feel everybody's using their opinions and no speaking about it in house. They're just going out and speaking to the media and the fans and try to rectify and say why they've done things. And why, what was right and what was wrong with it. I just feel we've got a lot to learn as a club, just the way we've approached this season in every aspect. Total shambles, mate, if you ask me.
Even before the interview yesterday, even as you spoke about there, the PR, Celtic PR, has been a total shambles. And we finally use words like that lately, but it has been. You're going through a spell of this, and then they're posting Lisbon Lion chocolate, and it's just been a total for the get go of this season. And the last few weeks again, it's, you think you're getting a wee bit of form and the build up, and then the PR is just total. I don't know, you make it, Sammy, but the PR to start off with for me has just been no very good recently.
That's another angle of it. If you think of it, that club don't seem to have a unified position on everything. So you've got the crisis at the front, where the manager's now just throwing his toys at the pram, like yesterday, and I'm sure we'll come on to that in a bit more detail. His assistant, there's no events. You've got the CEO apologising publicly for it, and at the same time, you've got the media team trying to get us all buying chocolate in the night, telling us that we can put Celtic's Fortnite characters and all the rest of it. You know, read the room, man. Yeah. Celtic fans at this moment in time are not interested in getting a big bar of dairy milk that they'll charge us a fiver for. You know, those folks spent £600 on it to effectively watch IPTV for a season, and they're wanting you to splash out fiver on a dairy milk and a fancy wrapper. It's as if folk in the same corridor are only sticking their head up saying, hey, we use day in the day, and we'll make sure we're there. Is that they've just switched off and put their favour mode on and went up the road and left it. It's really strange how certain areas of the club have just completely burnt away. As I was saying, it's really, really strange how nobody seems to be on the same page at everything that we're putting out in public.
It's been a very... It's a bit of a car crash, isn't it? You've had the CEO come out apologising, then the PR's... The thing that came from the actual his interview, I think, as well, that he's come out and basically apologised, but he's not apologised. And then Lorenz came out and basically saying, no, everything's fine. So again, he's kind of gone against what his boss is saying, and it's totally... And then obviously it's led into the interview yesterday, which we've all seen a wee minute of it, and you're thinking right away, that's poor, it's unprofessional. He was on the defensive for the front of the interview right away. But when you actually see the full interview, as Robert says, some of his points are quite valid, but it's the way he's came across. I think that he's maybe got to, when it comes to that, we understand we're all frustrated and he's annoyed for what's been happening. You've got to come across a bit more professional, and I think the way we've been going the full season, professors not really been the way it's been gone. It's just, I don't know what you make it, Robert, but the first bit of it when he first went to interview was just, he was right on the defensive, and right away you're thinking this is going to be a bit of a taste interview.
Aye, as you say, Ryan, he came out like a bit angry in his head, right? And he's obviously known they're going to question things, and he's getting into that interview. So, to me, he's got to take himself into a wee room before the interview, speak about what in his head, what he's going to be asked and what's going to be said. Because you can't, you know what I mean? One slip up in the media, one false word, one thing they don't agree with, it's just giving them fucking petrol for the fire, if you want to put it that way. And the media's absolutely loving the collapse in Celtic. So let's not give him any more fuel for the fire, as they say. Because to me, he shouldn't have done the interview. It should have been John Kennedy or somebody else, because he's a fiery guy. We all know that. And There's nothing wrong with being a fiery guy. But sometimes when you're angry, you can say things that you maybe regret or maybe no think twice about. You've just said it because he's went out and more or less slated everybody. And some things I agree with, some things I don't. We'll not get into exact detail of things. And I think the club are saying they've been misled a wee bit by the Scottish Government and stuff like that. But us as a club should have been more professional in the manner that Julian shouldn't have been anywhere near Dubai. He shouldn't have been. They knew before he went, apparently, that he had COVID. So he should have been back in isolation in Lennox Town and been running about two physios or three physios and went for there and try and get his rehabilitation better and try and get back quicker rather than going into Dubai, sitting on a plane with guys, run about a pool, run about training. It's just you're not doing yourselves any favour in that matter, and you're giving the press fuel for the fire, as I say.
Aye, it's the fact that Julian went in the first place was I really don't understand it. You've all played football yourself, boys. You know, if you're injured, do you go to training? Very rarely, no. You don't do that. So why would he do it? I don't understand. I understand maybe he was going for some winter sun for his injury, but again, you can do that at Lennoxtown. But I just think right away from his interview, Sammy, that again, take away from what's happening in Dubai, just the fact the interview for the start, it just, you knew right away it was just going to lead to something that we knew was going to be kind of a bit uncalled for.
I, like you, sort of around about lunchtime, I saw the wee sort of 60-second clip of his interview. It was first release, I think it was at PLZ or something, but and my first thought was, somebody going to tell him he wished. And then more started to drip feed out in the nature of the world, and you start to get the WhatsApps and that circulating, that apparently more's been said, and then by the evening news you're seeing a wee bit more, and you're thinking, all right, there's maybe a bit more to this. In terms of how he's came out, I agree, he shouldn't have done it. But then I think to myself, he has come out to get stuff off his chest. He's probably gone against any guidance that the PR team have given him before that. You know, the media team will have said to him, just go there and just nod eye, oh well, it's a shame what's happened, but we move on, blah blah. Mm. So nah, hell with us, I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say. Is that the acting? Who knows that he's not going to be here long, and he's just indeed, I'm going in here, I'm just going to have a go. The biggest problem for it for me is the way he's went about it. I actually think, plus because it's him, he had that been a Brendan Rodgers who had sat there and said the exact same thing word for word, and even if he'd said it in the exact same manner, it would have been taken differently. It wouldn't have been the best, the perception and the spin that would have went on it would have been completely different. But because it's Neil Lennon getting fiery, because of the reputation he has in this part of the world for the last 20 years or whatever, everybody's just went up, there we go, we knew this point was coming, he was going to come back. The fallout for it is the thing for me. If you look on Twitter and things like that and Facebook and stuff on the Celtic forums and whatnot, it looks as if a lot of folk think you need to be in one of two camps. Either you think Neil Lennon should be sacked and he shouldn't be the manager anymore, or he's got some great points in his interview, and folks seem to forget you can actually believe both of that. Yeah. You know, for me, he should be sacked. He shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be anywhere near there. Dubai has been a mess up. It isn't all his doing, but he's got to take a degree of responsibility about it. Same token, some of the stuff he said, it would be difficult to disagree with points. The big point about the section in Spain again, well, Scotland players, there wasn't one single person in any media outlet whatsoever that said, that's a bit dodgy in these times that they're all drunk and jumping about talking to one another. Everybody thought, brilliant party time. Mm. So he's got a point there. The point you made about Julian, though, I mean, go back, obviously, I'm not going to answer the Dubai thing. Seeing any other season, I've no problem with him going with him to a warm winter camp, because he's gone for a bit of an hour, he's part of the club and arrested. But we've got to realise in these times, every single person that they took is another degree of risk. Good access, have it, bring it back. Take the bare minimum. Even the coaching staff and all the rest that you go, do we really need everybody going? Because if we don't take everybody, because the less folk we take, the less risk we'll go, and the less folk we need to squeeze every buses, planes, blah, blah. Yeah, I couldn't believe when he had that. So it's been a mess, but yesterday just had the feeling to me of somebody who's went, You know that way, you know you're getting sacked on the last day of your job and you just decide and go in, you call the boss for it. That's what that felt like yesterday.
I think definitely what you're saying about the media, I think there's always been a thing against Lennon in a way. You see every back page or every front page when something happens to him, they always put the shittiest photo of him. It's never a man in suits or a man. He's always looking grim and tired, aged. He's always looking raging, aye. And again, I think I seen one this morning. I can't mind what paper it was. And he seen that it was a front page news or something. And he was looking. It was like a game, but it was an old footy. And they're just using that narrative again. As you say, he is making valid points, but the media's always going to try and twist it. And we're twisting it. We've put that wee fiery speech out. Both right away, your Twitter feed, your Facebooks, everything's gone mad. And again, we've stayed in Glasgow all life, so we know that's what the media are doing. I think some Celtic fans can't get to grips with that. They think that every time the media go to the perfect to you, and that's their job, to sell stories and sell papers. But I think I do agree with what he did say. It's regarding, obviously, I think with Andy Walker, obviously we watched the game and watched what he says, I did kind of agree with Andy Walker. I thought he was spot on, you know, how Desmond had to come out in front of this. But then again, it's probably the only time I've agreed with Andy Walker on a lot of stuff. To be fair, boys, we all know he can be a bit of a clown that comes to sub against Celtic, like some other pundits. But me personally, I'd agree with him, and I think he could have plenty other times to point out Walker. And I think maybe this time he just thought, as you say, Sammy, that I may as well just get it off my chest now, because I might be the only time I get it off my chest. I don't know what you think of that, Robert, but I did think the Andy Walker thing is just, again, is that maybe just a hindrance on everything that's happened, and he's putting that in to try and put something else up?
I think he's wanting to defend the club, which is great. I definitely come out and just say, look, it's us against everybody and we're no happy. At the end of the day, he singled out St Johnston and Hamilton, aye, if I'm right. Which he shouldn't be doing stuff like that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the full fact that Julian went. So I think there's things that we disagree on him, and there's things we agree with him, like the Scotland team doing the conga because we got to a Euros. Aye, it's great. They're allowed to do that. Aye. So there's some things I agree with him, there's some things I disagree. And as Sammy said, that I think he's a guy that's under a lot of pressure. He knows his job's hanging by the line, and he's probably just thought, you know what, I'm going to be honest and I'm going to say how it is, and I'm just going to tell the media, it's about time he's gave other teams as much stick as he's giving us. At the end of the day, he's sticking up for his club, he's sticking up for his players, but to me it's all a little too much too late, in my opinion. Just because I think his job's hanging by a thread. And that's probably what Sammy's saying. He's probably thought, you know what, I'm not going to be in a job much longer, so I'll be as well getting it off my chest. Some things I agree and some I don't. And Sammy was spot on in what he was saying, is the Celtics camp is, you either agree with Neil winning or you don't agree with him. You either support Neil winning or you don't support him. That's nonsense. I mean, half the time in Twitter and Facebook now, I'm just like, you know what, I can't be annoyed listening to people. And there's some wee guys who think they'll be influencers on Twitter, on Facebook, because they get 600 likes and everybody's got to agree with their opinions. I don't know what you think on that, but I've actually deleted a lot of people because they talk so much nonsense and they seem to think they know more than everybody else, or they're a bigger Celtic supporter than everybody else. But it's just all about my own opinions, and I go with my own opinions. I'm not always right, and I'm not always wrong. But it's all about opinions, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, whether they support Celtic, whether they go to the games or whether they don't. We're all Celtic supporters at the end of the day. So we've just all got to go together and try and get out of this mess and get the club back to where it is.
I think when you are, obviously, with Andy Walker thing first, we obviously were saying about how it was a jolly and a stag do. I understand Lennon can out and kind of front in that, because the 40 did look bad, but inside, I know for a fact they weren't there for a jolly. The 40 might have looked bad, but we all know that we've seen all the 40s on Facebook and Twitter, or Twitter feeds, that we all know that they go there and work hard, and we've just seen that right away and thought, wow, they're there for a stag do. But we know they weren't, so I understand Lennon's point of view on that. But a day when you're talking about the stuff on Twitter and stuff like that, you get people thinking they're in the know and people saying this, and you've got to agree with Lennon and you've no. End of the day, as you say, we've all got opinions. I've got a different opinion for something. Sammy's got different opinions. You've got different opinions. But that's why you like football, because we've all got different opinions. But some people, on your Facebook and your Twitter and stuff, they do come up with stuff. And again, people might think that about me. Don't care. I say my opinion because I like to think I see things different. I see it from the football point of view, not just about trying to get it on Twitter. But I do agree with you there. I don't know where your opinion is on that, Sammy, but I think the full for the Walker thing to that, I think it's just it's crazy.
No, my opinion with his digs at Andy Walker, right? who cares what Andy Walker says? Who watches the football? Like, is there anybody who, out of the audience or listening to this, who puts on Sky Sports to watch whatever game and really pays attention to what they say at half time? No, we don't.
No.
I don't care what Andy Walker says. And I actually would, I don't care what Chris Boyd says. Chris Boyd, the Rangers fan, have no problem with Chris Boyd having a dig at us if we're crap. Bar on, we had years that we certainly was in it with them. The pundits, they're there to be entertaining. Right? I ignore them. When the game goes to half time, I go for a pee or I go for a get a drink or I feed the cat or something like that. I'm not listening to what Andy Walker or Michael Stewart or Chris Boyd are saying. So see if they want to make me throw away comments to, I don't know, green lights. Well, in keeping with what you were saying, if that's Andy Walker's opinion, he's entitled to it. I don't pay any connection to it. If he wants to say that so as it makes the back page of the paper, fair enough. If it pays his bills, crack on. But I would like to think that as a club, we're bigger than that, that we just ignore that. If he thinks it was a draw, he thinks it's a draw. It wasn't, we know it wasn't. So let people say whatever they want to say. And there are times where if Neil Lennon wanted to create that siege mentality that we're talking about there, where it's everybody against us, we need to dig in. I'd have probably preferred that in about September or October time, when there was still a season to be fighting for, and he was just sort of sitting on his horns in the dugout when we're losing games and drawing games, and you're thinking, where was the Neil Lennon who was fired up and got his team fired up and showed a bit of passion, showed that he cared? The biggest thing we were saying watching the first half of this season was he looked as if he'd rather be anywhere else. He looked bored. And he was providing any motivation and inspiration whatsoever. So if he wanted to get fired up and wanted to get the players fired up and think everybody was against it, he had ample opportunity when Sparta Thrive reserves are cuffing his 4-1. You know, I'd much rather at times like that he was fired up as opposed to, well, I'm probably going to get the bullet at some point soon. Who's the most recent point person who's had a dig at me? Him? Or have a dig at him then? You know, see if he wanted to have a dig at somebody in the media. There's been far worse said in recent weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I like to that. Tit and talks, whatever his name is, Durham, right? There's somebody you could just call it, but you could actually just laugh at him, right? But what he had to say was far worse than Andy Walker. Andy Walker, he's claiming that his professionalism has been called into it and all the rest of it. Very good. You know what? Go on Twitter and we're audience. Is he going to sit there and roll off 105,000 Twitter account names that have all called his professionalism in yet? No, just ignore them. Nobody pays attention to football pundits unless they're being for a laugh. We all ignore them. Don't get so worked up about it. It's worth saying he's entitled to his opinion. That's his opinion and crack on. In terms of some of the stuff that went ahead, you're absolutely right, Robert. Why is he calling it St Johnstone and Hamilton? Particularly when both the clubs have come out today and put out a statement effectively saying, well, we've talked about it. You know, we provided perfectly good facilities and we can prove it. There's no point getting involved. Why are we arguing with other football clubs? There's no point fighting with other clubs. We're just making ourselves up to look bigger dicks in Scottish football because at the minute, actually, and I actually think, again, there's a big argument around the whole Dubai thing, and I think an awful lot of different arguments are getting caught up in one. It's as if, well, we shouldn't have gone to something else matters. We shouldn't have gone morally. In terms of the rules, we never broke any rules. We had permission to go from the football authorities to the government, so we went, it's fine. We didn't do anything wrong when they were earlier, right? Okay, they were sat together, but we were sat in the rain bubble. Any closer when they're sitting on the table than what they are if they're trying to get instructed at training or whatever. No, not really. No big deal. Followed all the protocols, they did whatever. In terms of the fallout, yeah, do you know what? We're a bit pretty pissed because we've dropped 4 points now because we played two games minus 13. Regardless of why we might have had to be without the players, that's what's ended up happening and it wouldn't have happened if we had any rain. Right? I totally understand all that. But it's about seeing the other issues. If he feels that football in general has been held to a different standard than footballers are getting it worse, better putting it there as if saying, well, the argument political because the government's having a go at us, they want to go at football. Then he would have been pulling all the other football teams are runners and saying it's Scottish football against the Scottish government by coming out and making it as if the Scottish government was sitting in for safety. Well, we all know the narrative that's been pushed pretty much all our lifetime that we're paranoid and all the rest of it. So that's all everybody's going to, you know, that's how people feel paranoia, they're moaning, blah, 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 blah. I do think footballers are getting held to a different standard by the government, some of the protocols. I do think there's inconsistencies, but we're not held to different standard because, or we, I mean, that sounds like I'm a football player, right? Football players, they're allowed to go about their business. They have been allowed to go and fly to Dubai, where we're not even allowed to nick through to Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So they have to be held to a different standard. If he thinks the goalposts have been moved since they came back and that they were told it was 2 metres and it was 4 or 3 or whatever, then provide some evidence of that. Come out properly as a club and say, we've been shafted, that we had to have 13 players, which has cost us two games. We've been ill affecting here, we can prove it. Is now you've got Wraith have all those games and have been postponed. We've all lost them 3-0, we can play them later. Well, could we have done that with the Hibs game and the Livy game at the weekend? We wouldn't have necessarily dropped 4 points. We would have played them later. That could have an impact. Not that it's going to, but if we lose this league by, say, 3 points, mm-hmm. those two games would have been a massive difference. But it's the way and the manner he went about it, coming out ranting like taking it out of the pub, machine gunning. See, like, his throwaway comments about it's illegal in Dubai. He's focusing on that anyway. Why are you saying that? Mm-hmm. Well, you're sitting in the room, you just sound like a bitter old man now. Just calm down a wee bit. If you've got points, make your points, show your evidence and move on instead of just ranting, which that's what made it all look so unprofessional.
I think the thing, when you say that obviously about the government, I think that was maybe the only thing that I was really agreeing with him. If that was the case and there's evidence there, then by rights, totally lambast the government, because I agree with what he says, they went out on Saturday and, let's be honest, they probably knew 2 weeks before that they were going back into lockdown on Monday. So if that was the case, then I just have said something before he flew out. But again, we can only see and hear what he's telling us. So if that was the case, then obviously about, and then on Saturday we're saying they had to put players into separate buses and all that. That's never happened before. So again, that's maybe something that we can maybe go, aye, you could be right. But do you, as the fans, the evidence to actually back you up with that? Because we can't back anybody up because the full thing with the PR, as you say, is we've only told anything. So we're a bit in the dark with a lot of things this season. So how can we back our manager or back the board or any situation if we don't know what's happening? I don't know what you think of that, Robert, but I just don't know. We can only agree with certain things in his press conference, but without evidence, us as fans, we can only speculate to accumulate.
It's all rumours, Ryan. Obviously, you've had the WhatsApp group messages of saying about it was 2 metres then, it was 4 metres, that they were saying the government moved the goalposts, as I say. But the one thing about the government I wasn't happy with was as soon as Celtic get back to Dubai, they shut from the underneath the championship then in Scottish football, which then would probably impact on these clubs financially and playing football and maybe... Guys, obviously, it's making it to Celtic for the bad guys to these people for League One and League Two. It's as if our Celtic's went to Dubai, they've come back with a COVID case, we're having to shut your leagues down because that's Celtic's fault. You know what I mean? So, in the government, I've kind of made Celtic a scapegoat in that sense. In my opinion, I just feel they didn't need to do it. There was no need to do it. Why did they not shut it down the week before Celtic went? And then it looks like Celtic's to blame. It's as if more people are going to dislike Celtic as a football club underneath Scottish football through the government, using Celtic as a scapegoat. That's just my opinion on that. But as we say, some things Lennon said, I agree with him on points. Andy Walker, I agreed with Andy Walker for a change, but I don't think that's just what Andy Walker said then. I think that's about Andy Walker picking at Celtic every opportunity he can possibly get to try and keep his cushy job at Sky and stuff like that, and obviously try and debate things. And as Sammy says, these pundits are out there to try and get people wound up and try and get stuff like that happening, like that guy for fucking TalkSport who's just an absolute clown. I wouldn't even listen to him. Just because every week it's something about Celtic and relegate Celtic to League Two and all this nonsense. See, when you're down in the dumps, everybody wants a kick at you, mate. So it's up to us to get out the dumps and come back fighting in all cylinders.
There's obviously, you're talking about the guys who talk sport, Durham. Even through the years when we've been winning cups and trophies, Sinclair's doing well, but he's playing the pub league. The Belly's doing well, playing the pub league. It's always a pub league, but now Gerrard's doing well. Oh, he's doing brilliant. What a job, Gerrard. Wait a minute, pal. If it wasn't for this pandemic, which is horrific, what's happened, your main man wouldn't win a job, because we were flying and we'd have all won the league. We've said before, we'd have won the league with a lot of points, in my opinion, because we were going to Ibrox flying. But obviously, this situation's happened now, and it's it's caused a lot of pain, and so we kind of don't really want to speak about that. But when it comes to Ivory government, mate, it's with the change in the laws basically for the championship downwards, it's kind of putting the blame on Celtic in a way. You can see what they're trying to do. I like to think they've only been doing it to look like that, but for me, Sammy, that's the way I think it looks to a lot is.
I think he's right there, like you say, the timing doesn't look good for us. And I also think part of that is why Lawwell came out and said what he said. What he said in the first 8 seconds before laying on for 4 minutes. And he's just apologised for it. But he understands that it's something we're not going to win. And again, it's all WhatsApp rumours and all the rest of it. But the suggestion is if we'd have much this thing about what happened when we came back, they would have gone down. Everybody would have said it was when it shut down all because of it. We don't want to look like the bad guys. We'll just take our med and we'll play the 2 games we've got. But all boils back to if we don't go, none of this happens. And that is still important. As much as we agree that we argue where there's an argument to be had about the result, what happened since we came back. Going away back to the start, did we really need to go to Dubai? Well, we didn't. There's been benefit, but you know, as I said earlier, read the room. After, you know, at that point, I mean, I don't know, what were we after the Rangers game? 87 points behind or something like that? I can't even remember what we were at that stage when we flew it out, but whatever we were, look at it and go, all support has been rotten this season. They've spent a fortune, zero return, both physically and emotionally. Because I'm not even counting winning the Scottish Cup. At the end of that cup final, it felt like a weird victory. It was more relief than a victory, the way we managed to just get that. But with supporters, you've not really had anything. You've not been able to be in the ground and see games. You've not been able to watch your team play good football or, you know, walk the league up at any great TV time. I don't know where I'm about to start. So fans aren't getting anywhere. The fans are all holed up in the house. Knew we'd going to be away on a an inverted commas jolly, if you're winning an inverted commas jolly. You just go, do you know what? We're going to patch Dubai this year and we're going to prevent the risk. Let's be honest, see the day that, I think it was like the first day after they went, the photos came out of Brown and Lennon by the pool. I imagine, like me, you probably turned to a mate or something and said, guaranteed somebody's coming back with COVID. 100%, one of the players has come back with COVID. The way this is going to fall, we are going to come back with COVID. I didn't expect us to lose our entire first team, and that brought me on another point. And again, yesterday, at least the point you made about protocols changing and difference and answered this a wee bit. My biggest moan when we came back and we lost 13 players, see, once you saw who the 13 players were that were out, my first thought was, if I picked where they were all sitting, because surely common sense says you put your two goalies at opposite end of the planes, you put Griffiths and Edward at opposite end of the planes. You put your two main centre back jobs so that if somebody gets it, you're only losing half your strikers and half your centre backs. You don't put all four strikers near each other so that when it goes down, they're all isolating and we've then got no strikers. I mean, that's just basic common sense. Split the team into wee bubbles. Well, there's a goalie, a defender, a midfield, a striker. So if yous go down, we're only losing one for each position. We lost an entire first team. Which was just mental. If it's been the case that they couldn't have avoided that because they've changed the rules on seatings and buses and planes and all the rest of it, well, fair enough, I suppose. But again, if we don't go, this doesn't happen.
It's crazy as well. With four strikers in the forum, couldn't they play? The full thing, the Dubai, I think we're all agree with you, Sammy, that simple fact is we don't go, there's no big fallout, and we just continue as and trying to get better as we go along. But obviously, can I get away for the interview? Neil,
give me a wee second on that. By the way. What doesn't sit right with me is Dubai is right. We didn't agree and they went, everything's happened. But we still had 2 games behind Rangers to play. So did we really need to go to Dubai? Could we not have sat at home and played one of their games and then narrow go to the league, like try and push on a wee bit with the league, rather than going out there for 5 days of winter training camp? Mm-hmm. Could we not have done that? Could we not have spent $300,000 going out there and then following the under-18s? I mean, we've just been so amateurish at times this season in every aspect, I just find it baffling. And especially with what happened with Edouard coming back from France under 21s, COVID. Then you get Christie coming back. He had COVID. I think who else came back?
Had it was the two Israelis. We and El Hamid had it.
There's an R2. That was all international football. Tumble come back. So, yeah. We're out of Europe.
The Christie one was an annoyance, actually.
Sorry to cut across.
The Christie one was an annoyance. Remember, Christie never had it. Christie had been close to Armstrong. And so had Tierney. And Tierney was cleared to play for Arsenal, having had all the negative tests. And they'd said, no, Christie still went to Italy. And lo and behold, Christie was part of the group that missed the first Rangers game. Because Christie missed it, Edouard missed it, the two Israeli boys missed it. We were already with Julian and Forrest for injuries. So we were decimating that first game. That's all right, although we had enough experience with COVID to go, you know what, let's just try and avoid actually catching us because it's already messed us up enough.
We were stupid in that sense. That's what I just feel. We could have stayed at home and played in a game in the 5 days at home, pushed on with the league a wee bit. Now, I'm not saying we might not have cases, but we wouldn't have had 13 players out if we were back at home.
Yeah.
We might only had two or three because COVID, we just don't know what's happening with this stuff. But when you've got all that, so many people, and you've took Julian there, at least Julian would have been doing the rehabilitation at Lennox Town. He would have been near the first team players. So at least he was, when he's on a plane, he's run about all the first team players. So I think a lot of it's down to their own stupidity that way. Just my opinion, but I just had to say that wee part, Ryan.
No, as I say, you've kind of put a good point there. Obviously, see that week where we went to Dubai, obviously we've got Gage in hand. Could the board know have actually pushed and went, listen, Camino just play a game? As you say, forget. But I don't know if they were even pushed hard enough. It doesn't seem like that. They must have knew Dubai was coming, now we've got to Dubai. But if they see the way things are going, it's like the full club's just kind of gave up the league. Obviously, it's mathematically no finish, so I'm still like, just at least give a bit of fight. Obviously, Neil Lennon came out and basically says at least kind of done, but I'm not going to say that. Well,
Scott Brown said the date's all done.
Right, so then again, you're two guys saying different things. Even when Neil Lennon is saying that, that's not a guy that should be in the job because he's lost all his fight for that, for the way he's saying that. But if we had any fight in my opinion, as a club, they should have been pushing for a game. If you could squeeze in two that week, brilliant, but I can't see it. So see if you could squeeze one game in and get 3 points on the board. Then if you did go to Dubai, fair enough, then we'll deal with the fallout again. But you could have got a game in. And then obviously they've done the under-18s furlough, which I think, I just can't agree with that. How can you go and, as you say, spend money on players to go away to another country and then you're following your under-18s team?
See, in fairness though, what I would say in defence of that is we'll not be the only team doing that. There's no football for them to play. So effectively, these boys are doing nothing. Now, I know we could say, wait, they earn £150 a week. But ultimately, I think most clubs, even big Premier League clubs, will be looking at it saying, we could save some money here. They're not doing anything because we can't play any football at that level. So we might as well just leave them up the road in the woods and we can claim part of their wages back. So it saves us money effectively. It doesn't look right. I get it. Like a lot of things, it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right, particularly off the back of that. But it's another stick being used to beat it a wee bit because, like I say, we'll not be the only club. By far, we will not be the only club doing that. Pretty much every club, and I don't just mean in Scotland.
Sammy, I just think we could have left it 2 or 3, 4 weeks after Dubai. They've done it too soon and too much bad press was already on us at the time.
That's definitely, I think there's a right, lads. I think, see, if I didn't even go to Dubai and then it came up, it might have not been as the backlash. But I think because you were to Dubai, followed, you've just waited. It does look bad, doesn't it? But then obviously on to Neil Lennon. The review, which is ongoing, you've got one media outlet who I don't like mentioned, the Sun, we all hate the newspaper, so I'm not going to mention it again. They've said that supposedly it's done, his review is done, he's staying. Other outlets are saying, no, the review is not done. We're all waiting and timing here about what's going to happen with this review. We're either going to get a wee silly statement or somebody's going to come out come out with a big interview or something. We don't know what's going to happen, but obviously, Sammy, what's your kind of thoughts on obviously the review, which is still to happen? Surely, in my opinion, if the rumours are meant to be correct, he's away after the game tomorrow. We don't know. It's all WhatsApp rumours. Any wee text these days and the bookies take note of it. Boom, Eddie Howe's a favourite. But again, the review, we're really surely knew, no matter what happened tomorrow, how he's still here. If he had any fight, in my opinion, to try and claw us back, he'd boot the door.
I had a look today in advance of this night. I had a wee look to try and find the comment that mentioned about the review. Statement that the club put out at the start of December. And all it says is there'll be a review in the new year. And all is, we've all taken that to mean January. Mm-hmm. Right? But that leaves it nice and vague for them. It leaves it nice and open. It doesn't need to be January. It could be March. It could be April. It's still the new year. I don't think it'll be a review such.
Sammy, sorry to interrupt. Did it not say we'll review the situation in the new year on a game-to-game basis? Was that not what the statement said?
I've no go at your hand. I think it just says it would be a review in the new year, but you might be right. I can't remember it verbatim, but I'm sure it said in the new year. But the one thing I was looking for was to mention January, and it isn't. Yeah. So it leaves it nice and open for him to run. If we really think there'll be one, I don't. For me, if he was going to go, if he had a real fight and really believed that they needed to replace him, we wouldn't have got this far. We wouldn't have got this far. In fact, even if they'd allowed them the game at Ibrox and KCB was able to turn that around, I think we all believed that they were keeping him on to let him have the Scottish Cup final so that he could get the treble won as a manager that he'd done as a player and all the rest, so he could get that. That's fine. They got that. They've gave up the Ibrox because we actually went in a good wee run. And they've obviously thought, if we go to Ibrox and win, all of a sudden, there's still a big job, but we've got a good chance. It would be wrong. We'll go with it. See, everything that's happened because of Dubai and all that, they had the perfect opportunity to use that if they wanted to get rid of them. They could use yesterday. They could use yesterday and say, oh, you know, there's Peter Lawwell apologising last week and you've undermined that by what you wouldn't say. You know, that's enough. I think they'll just let them see the season. If they've wrote this season off, unless, and I don't believe the rumour's going to be, you know, why would they give them the game tomorrow? What would be the sense in that? That just doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that there's a manager lined up. If he goes tomorrow, we're going to go and starting to come up for me, I think. It will just be a short-term thing until they find somebody in the summer. If you were wanting my review, fucking stinking. Pardon my language, right, but stinking. We've had no system, we've had no consistency, we've had no leadership, there's been no motivation. It has been like turning up for a game of 11s where you work, where nobody knows anybody really, and you're just hoping that he's better than the other players in our team and hoping we win. That's what it felt like all season. He's had two guys that he brought into the team with in December who've been there all summer. You know, Folker, the one thing in the past, among pals, folk have always made me to be a wee bit of a Peter Lawwell fan and all the rest of it. They've always kind of defended him for certain things. What I would say is that if I was a Celtic board was, we spent the best part of £15 million in the summer. Do you think if the fees had been believed, it was the best part of £5 million for the keeper, the same again for Ayeti, or £3 million for Bumble, then you've got the loan fees for Buffy and El Unity and Laxalt. So spent good money. Then you've got Soro, who Lennon was gave last January. He's let a new time because you've not used them, so you had him. Why are we going to give you Mary and Mary Mermer? He said plenty of money. He never used Soro, he never used Turnbull until he really had to, by which point he was away. So my review is, all good enough, and he should go, but that was my opinion in October and November. And while we were being called out by some of his pals in the media at the time as being, let's call it dead letters, for the supporters saying that Lennon should be sacked, when in actual fact we could just see what was coming. We could tell that it was all going downhill. We wanted change then, it never happened, and it's got to the point where it's far too late. No, I don't believe there will be a review. I don't believe he'll be sacked. I don't believe he'll walk, which, again, feed into my thing. His legacy as a legend at the club is seriously up for debate now. He knows what this season meant. And he should have been big enough and man enough to realise that if I go now, back in October or November, I don't know what it was, somebody could come in and rescue this. And never forget, and I made this comment, but Bill Lennon scored this 10 in a row twice. They fucked up the last one. It was in 2011. We went up to Inverness and got pumped. And screwed that league, which would have been one. And so we would already be on 10 if he hadn't screwed that league up. And he's gone at the other end and he's fucked up that league as well. So, nah, for me, he's got to go back and go on before the end of the season.
Aye, it's very poor. I'll leave my opinions to obviously after Robert's done his, but I generally think it's the review. I don't think it's going to happen, Robert, and I don't think it's going to happen the way we think it's going to happen.
How can we let it go any longer? As Sammy said, I'm positive, but I'm not 100% sure that the board's statement was we'll review the position of the manager in the new year on a game-to-game basis. So if that's what we're looking at, right, we've played 3 games, we've scored 0 goals, we've conceded... Sorry, we scored 1 goal, haven't we? We scored against Hibs, have a free kick. We scored 1 goal in 3 games. We've dropped 7 points, only gained 2, a 9. And we're in an absolute shit show again. We're just in an absolute mess again. We had a nice wee run going up to the Rangers game. We lost it. The time was then to go to Neil Lennon. Right, you've lost as a league, let's go. But as Sammy said, he's this big, massive Celtic supporter. He knows what it means to the fans. He knows all this. He should have held his hands up a long time ago. Because to me, it's cat and mouse with Peter Lawwell and him. Peter Lawwell doesn't want to sack him because it's going to cost too much to get rid of him. Neil Lennon doesn't want to walk away for a job because he knows how much it will cost to sack him. He's going to give up salary-wise to the end of the season. So it's cat and mouse between the two of them. I don't think Peter Lawwell wants him in the job, but he doesn't want to sack him and have to pay the compensation to the end of the season. And Neil Lennon doesn't want to walk away from it.
The only thing I could see, Robert, on that is I don't think the compensation would be a problem. I genuinely don't think there's what he's earning, right? Nene's not exactly what he's earning, but I don't think that'd be an issue. I just wonder if it's the point that anybody they've asked. So let's just say, for argument's sake, they have spoke to Martin O'Neill and Gordon Strachan, because they're the two we think that they would have spoke to. Would you take the job for the summer? And they both went, nah, I don't fancy it. So he's thinking, well, why would I sack Lennon if I don't have somebody teed up? I'd be sacking him, I've got nobody else to come in. Might as well run with him the new. And whether or no they've got somebody teed up for the summer that they know they're going to go after, and they're thinking, well, we're not going to get that person any earlier, so we'll just need to wait. We'll just need to ride this one out because we've not got an alternative. That's the only reasonable, plausible excuse I can give for them not sacking him, because they can't be looking at us and thinking, might
come around a 21
point, if this, you know,
I never
know. It can't be.
There's got to be something in place, because if they let him go to the end of the season and then they start sending it to the season book renewal forms, they'll be getting sent straight back to Celtic Park quicker than they get sent out, I can assure you. And people will find it hard to get up their season books, but people are only going to put up with that nonsense, especially in a pandemic when people are struggling. Because it was a joy to go, and you saved your money to go and watch Celtic, or that was your wee thing at your weekend because you worked hard all week, you've spent time with your family. They can't do that now, so the frustration's boiling in people, and people are going to go, why should I give them 600 quid and the pandemic might no better, and then they might give another first this season and another crap signings and merd guys on crazy wages that will probably... we'll not get any money back for and stuff like this, and so many players want to leave the club. I just feel the club's all gone in different directions. There's no always one club. They want mentality. There's players want to leave. The managers, I don't think the manager and John Kennedy got on particularly well. I don't think they worked as a team. They brought Gavin Strachan in, which I don't think was authorised by Lennon or Kennedy. I don't think the signings were exactly who they wanted. I don't think they identified the signings in the right place. I think the PR disaster, the pitch is a disaster. I just feel everything at Celtic, it could have went wrong, has went wrong. And I think a lot of arrogance and neglect and blinded has come back to bite us in the arse in the most important season in our history. I just feel it needs stripped back top to bottom. And I'm hoping to God it's happening behind the scenes now, because if it doesn't, we are going to be in some hell of a state come the summer.
The only thing I'd say on that, right, and I've had this, and maybe I'm being far too optimistic, is that we are miles behind the now, right? But as we've all sat and spoke over the last hour or so about, we're miles behind because of our own fault. Right? We've put ourselves miles behind. I don't necessarily think that the team that's top of the league now has got that much better than what they were. They're a wee bit more consistent and they're a good side. A competent manager or coach comes into our team and I reckon we jump forward quite a bit straight away. I think we're already competing. I'm still fairly confident that all things being equal, I'd still fancy us to win the league back next year.
100%.
But you don't know, you have to assume Edward will go. You're assuming Christie. Ayer's going, Christie's probably going. These guys
and need Cam's going.
I've thought about players that we want to keep. and even then, I didn't issue about putting Christie in that list. But these guys will go, A, because we want to put money in, B, because I think Ayer and Edward will be getting into the last year of our contract, so we'll be selling them on. So they all need to be placed. I totally get that. But what you make all about the season, but it's absolutely bang on. Even allowing for folk going, I've hit the season ticket for 25 years, I'm going to keep it going and the rest of it. You're like, nobody knows if the football stadium's going to be open again by August. Mm-hmm. So we're going to spend another £500-£600 to work on your computer. Well, folk are just not going to do that again. That's before you look at the club and think to yourself, well, where's the indication for the club? You know, a few years ago, they brought in Brendan Rodgers as a sign of, right, we mean business, we're going to kick on. There has to be something like that in the pipeline. You've got to realise that there's a £2-3 million hit potentially if folk just get the season become a brand. I'm a brand.
It's definitely, I think the season books, as you and Robert have said. I think if we don't get somebody in soon, they're not going to sell any. Obviously, guys maybe like yourselves and myself and other guys, you'll still go in the new, you'll still go and buy their books because you love the club and you just, that's your passion. As you say, you spend all week working and you go to the football, and Celtic's one of your biggest things, obviously apart from your kids and your family, but Celtic's a big part of your life. So when it comes to the junior season books, most people will have the kind of the thing you've said there that I've had it for years. I've just continued it. But some guys are growing up, like maybe myself, you've seen success and then you're seeing this, you're like, wait a minute here. I've had this and now I'm getting this. Wait a minute here. I don't think this is going the way I want to pay my money anymore, which is partly that's people's opinions. But I think they definitely need to get somebody in soon, in my opinion, because they're not going to sell 50,000, especially in a pandemic. They're not going to spell 50,000 with Neil in charge. See, but honest boys, it would not surprise me if he's here next year. It would not surprise me. I'd like to think it wouldn't happen, but see, just, I don't think it is going to happen, mate, but would it really surprise you the way things run this season? Me personally, it wouldn't surprise me, but obviously there's been a lot of things about Eddie Howe. For me, it's... Is there a chance of happening? We don't know. It's all rumours, right? Obviously, the Newcastle job might be up for grabs for him. So, but Eddie Howe, for me, I've spoken about it. We spoke about it on a podcast recently that Eddie Howe's on my Christmas list. Eddie Howe, for me, is, I think he would suit us to a T. The way he wants to play it, I've been watching him on YouTube and reading about him. The way he talks about football is, I think, the way we want to see football, attacking, counter-attack play. If they score 3, we'll score 4. It's just that he's obsessed with football. And I think me and our manager that's obsessed. He said when he was at Bournemouth, he was in at half six to start his day. He was always hands on. He's a guy, I think he's learning, he's always saying he's learning all the time. I think, I don't know what you think about Eddie Howe, guys, but if we could get him, if there's a big chance, as you say, Sammy, when Rodgers came in, it was a sign. I think if the board gets somebody like him, and I think it's a sign, and I think the board would be saying to the fans, listen, we're getting him in. Season books, here we go.
I he hits every box, and I can see why the club would be appealing to him. Not so long ago, he was being touted as a possible England manager. He was touted, I think, for Arsenal when he left. There was a lot of talk, and then I think he just stayed too long at Bournemouth, and he got as much out of them as he could, and you know, he fell away. He'll be looking at it and thinking, well, look what it did for Rodgers. His reputation was down a wee bit after Liverpool. He went up there, rebuilt it, and he's himself at the top club in England. He might think, I could go in there, day two, 3 years, get them back on top, hopefully get some Champions League or at least Europa League football, get a wee bit of success, and I can move back again. And we would take that. I think we would all accept it. If he took the job, he's here for 2 or 3 years maximum. We're all right with that, provided he's a success. My only concern about it is that his fans will get myself carried away. There's nothing to suggest that he's interested in us or we're interested in him. It's a name that's been put up there and his fans have all ran with it. You then start to see the odds tumbling the bookies. But bear in mind, when it comes to these bets, very little money put on that. So the first person who plays £100 on Sunday, the odds just slash massively. So he's in at 1-2, 1-3, 1-5. That's just because 500 folk have got that WhatsApp message that was floating about and decided to stick a tenner on him. Do you know what I mean? And it's just totally tore him away in. I hope it's true. I'd like to see him. I think he's exactly what we would be looking for. Like yourself, you watch and you read bits about him, and he's interesting. He looks as if he takes his job seriously. He's all that Brendan Rodgers mold of being in LA about living and breathing the game, wanting to play the game in the way that we call Celtic way, or that sort of stuff. It would be great. It would probably attract a few players that we would like to get, but as I tweeted last night, Steve Bruce is on his way out at Newcastle. Eddie Howe might look at the two jobs and go, well, I could go to Scotland and try and get a job in England, or I could just take a job in England that's here. Well, he'll probably get just the same wage or more, and he's already in the Premier League. I know Newcastle isn't necessarily a job that anybody would like to take, but you might look at that and go, it's fine. So if we do want him, we need to be moving the now. But let's be honest, it's Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell. Roy Keane's probably teed up.
I think it's definitely something I think we need to look at soon if that is the case. As you say, that's surely if they have spoke to him, that's got to be in the pipeline, because things aren't really gone well, you know. I don't really make it out, Robert, but obviously we've spoken to Eddie Howe, and there's obviously other names I've been flying about. Jack Ross, for me, is an absolute no-no. Guys like Mark Cusel, he's the bookie list as well. Again, I don't know, Mark Cusel, he's managed at top level for a long time, dealt with some kind of high players, high budgets. Don't know if that would interest Celtic, but I think we've spoken about Eddie Howe. I think, for me, if we can get him, go and splash the cash and get him, I think he'd bring him in the new, give him time to build for the qualifiers and sort the mess out, because I think we need somebody to come in and sort it out. As we've spoken about, it's going to take a few months to sort that team out.
We spoke about Eddie Howe before, Ryan, previous podcast. He ticks all the boxes. I like him. He's young. He's enthusiastic about football. He likes to play an attractive football. He's about winning and scoring goals and really pleasing the fans and stuff. To me, Newcastle might be a good proposition for him, right, if Steve Bruce goes. But who wants to work under their chairman? Everybody that goes to Newcastle said he's murder to work under. There are yo-yo teams. let me have my good points and the bad points on it, right? Newcastle, in my opinion, has a bigger glass ceiling than any other team. They're a yo-yo team. They're a big club, a big one city club. They've got a big following, but they'll never do it. In my opinion, they're a yo-yo club, up, down, up, down, up, down. That's all they are. And they're signing these players in crazy wages. I mean, they get relegated with Mike Owen up front and stuff like that, who's on £100,000 a week away back in the early 2000s. I don't know anybody that would really... The best manager they had was Benitez, and they wouldn't give him the money, and the guy left. I'm not saying that Celtic is more appealing, but he's got a chance, if he comes to Celtic, to play in Europe. He's been in the Premier League. I would say he maybe fancies something different, but again, he might not want to come to Scottish football, because Scottish football is no attractive, and it's a two-horse race, if you want to call it. But again, he could come up here and build his reputation up. Whereas if he takes a Newcastle job, he could end up, let's be honest, they look like they're getting relegated. They could end up in the Championship. They might need to sell players and he could end up sore down there. But he could come up here 2-3 years, build his reputation and get a big job in England like Rodgers. There's pros and cons of everything. But in that sense, then I would like to see if we can get Eddie Howe, Michael O'Neill for Stoke. I think he's done well with Stoke. He's starting to build them up. I've not seen the results recently, but the last I seen, they were in the top six. They've done a wonderful job with Northern Ireland. That's just another guy I would say on the list now that I would like to kind of see at Celtic. I don't know what your opinion's on that.
I think when you talk about Michael O'Neill, the only thing I can say about him is he would maybe be able, because obviously some of the clubs he's dealt with, he's not maybe had the biggest of budgets. So he might be able to come in on a budget, because next season with the pandemic, how much money we've got, obviously we're going to sell players. So I think that's maybe my hang on it, because I think we're going to sell, we're probably going to get at least £25 million out of three or four players, right? Probably. I'd like to think so, right? So there's your money for your manager, right away, for a top-door manager. If it is game, £3 or £4 million per year, Rodgers was getting 2.5 a year, whatever. But I think Michael O'Neill, it's a good suggestion, because he is a guy who's dealt with kind of maybe smaller budgets, and he might be able to get the best out of players without spending money. I don't know what you think of that, Sammy. But another name as well, I'll speak about after, is obviously Ralph Raniak, but he's a dream. But I don't know what your take is. Obviously, we need to consider that Neil Lennon's still the manager, but the thing is, the way things are going, he's probably going out the door soon, so we need to obviously look at other options. I don't know what your opinion is on the manager situation, Sammy.
First of all, a name that you mentioned earlier, Mark Hughes. No. I've never rated Mark Hughes. I've always thought Mark Hughes is an absolute myth. He's highly rated when he had Wales in the sort of early 2000s. Never qualified for anything. Got some good results, but at that time he had Pete Hartson, Bellamy, Giggs, Speed. Really good squad. Then he built his reputation off that. I had a look today, obviously, because I'm preparing for this and obviously he'd been mentioned. I had a look. Mark Hughes started managing Wales in 1999 and he moved on thereafter. He's no managed since 2018. In 19 years, you know what he's won? One Manager of the Month award in 2007. That's it. I've got an award here for Football Manager. I think that's worth more than what Mark Hughes has achieved, so get me in the bets. No, I wouldn't. Michael O'Neill, I know he's been mentioned before. He probably would be a good, solid manager, but is he going to make folk renew season tickets? I don't think he is. Eddie Howe is a dream. I'm not as averse to Jack Ross. I know Jack Ross's name's always been in there, because I think Brendan Rodgers mentioned him at the Celtic Board as a potential back in the day. He had a good spell at St Mirren. He didn't do so well at Sunderland, but if any of you have watched that documentary Netflix,
that's a shit show.
Well, I would have struggled at Sunderland at that time. I won't hold that against him. Back to Scotland, I'm sure I'm right in saying I heard a stat that only Celtic Rangers have won more points in the league than him.
Aye, that's true, aye.
But my worry is he's building a good squad there, so I don't think he's going anywhere soon. He's made signings with Jackson Irving, Chris Cadden. I believe he's offered a contract for probably the expect Rangers boy as well, so he's building quite a decent record. I don't think he's going anywhere. So the day, because it's betting, I can add a look in the betting, and it's all your usual suspects at the top: John Kennedy, Mark Neil, Gordon Strang, Roy Keane and all that. There's a name further down, and I haven't heard it mentioned in other places, and the more I think about it, the more I think it appeals to the Celtic Board. Sean Maloney's obviously number two to Martinez at Belgium just now, and I think he's quite highly rated as a coach. We know that Dermot Desmond seems to think there's a lot of value in having a Celtic link whenever he's went after players or managers and all the rest of it. I think they will think he's worth it, because he's ex-Celtic player, so obviously fans will offer for that and will just love him because of that. He's came through the academy, came all the way through the club. He's learning under, listen, Martinez would probably be somebody I would have on a Christmas list, but he's not going to leave the number one team in the world and come in. I think Maloney will probably start to, if he gets to the summer and the bet starts to change his name, I think John Maloney's name will start to, he'll maybe get the Euros at the road, it would maybe be an agreement that, yeah, you do the Euros and then you come after, which again, who knows, maybe that's already in the pipeline and that's why Lennon's getting the rest of the season. Or he wants to get the Euros, it would be Belgium and then leave Belgium and come Celtic. I don't know. Any Belgium, I don't know. But I'd have looked at other names on the list. David Wagner, the ex-Huddersfield manager. Again.
Just been sacked for Schalke.
Aye. I just think that his agent will be touting him. So he'll be one of the names touted to Celtic. Especially if you're his agent, you would be. I dare say there's quite a lot of managers like that. You've mentioned Ragnick. But he falls in the Eddie Howe category, I think, is a dream catch. There will be other clubs, probably bigger clubs than us, that will be looking at these guys. So it just depends whether he wants to be a manager or not. I don't know. But if I was to pick an outside, I think it's between Jack Ross. I think the board will.
He's not going to sell season books, mate.
Go in the shop.
My opinion.
I agree with that. 100%.
There's Sean Maloney, but I know what you're saying. This is a Celtics board thinking.
Because Henrik Larsson will be in the shortlist as well. See the thing about Roy Keane and Henrik Larsson are the two that they all go into. Maybe once. Maybe once either of the two of them. But they're the two names that constantly get put on the list because they think that we're all gullible enough that, Roy Keane slash Henrik Larsson, you know, it's a name that somebody that knows what Alan's club.
We need to read the room here, Sammy. And you need to read the room. The Celtic boys get the biggest decision in our lives here. They make a fuck up in this and they will have absolute mass exodus.
If they circle though, if we go back to the very start of this podcast, wouldn't we say one thing we've not done this year?
Fuck, I know. Managers, Michael O'Neill, Eddie Howe, but I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out our budget and what would appeal to managers and what sort of money. There's got to be a risk in place, you know what I mean? So, as it's a short list, I mean, there's no a lot of guys who'll take it. There's no a lot of guys who even consider it or anything. So you might be right in that way, Sam. It will be maybe a Sean Maloney / Gordon Stratton alongside him just because he's no been in management or something along the lines. I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know.
What the club... that Gordon Stratton put the director of football job at Dundee, and then there was a wee bit of me thinking, was that to get practice for that job? Because eventually, because we're obviously going to appoint a director of football apparently this summer, and Gordon Stratton's nice and pally with him at the board, so he's had a wee shot at Dundee. And you're absolutely right. He could have been his director of football with a Troy Maloney or something like that under him. All that would want to play. Not that I'm saying it's what I'd want, but what fans would want. But what we know with that Celtic board, it ticks all the boxes, I think.
Yeah.
As you just spoke about, guys, we need to kind of, obviously, realistically, you want all the big names and your Ranić, your house, but you've got to sit down and think what the Celtic board would think. And as you say, they've got a massive, massive appointment coming up because it's not just the manager's job, it's the coaching staff, it's the full structure of the club that leads for this manager appointment. Because if I appoint somebody, if it is, just say Jack Ross, however it is, they've got to get their coaching staff, then they've got to bring in new players, they've got to look at their youth team, and they've got to, as we've spoken about before, Robert, they've got to fix the full structure of the club for the way, because I don't know if you've been listening recently, Sammy, but we've kind of been speaking about as well that they've got to change the way the club structure is for or us selling players, buying players. They've got to go modernised as with all the rumours I've spoken about when it comes to the football and maybe like a head coach side. Can I go for it?
My thought is that another reason that they've not appointed a manager or a coach a manager just now is technically to get that structure right. The manager's the last person. Most important point person you're appointing is your director of football. You get the director of football in because they're the person that sets the structure. They decide how youth academies and all that are going to work. Effectively, your first team coach responsibility purely for the playing style. You get the right director of football so that if you may bring Eddie Howe in 2 years' time, he moves on. Whoever comes in to replace him, it's somebody who's going to fit into the structure you've got in place because the guy that thought your director of football has already set that out properly. So technically, if that's the model we're going to do, the most important appointment that we make then, director of football, get him right and let him appoint head coach that he fits into the structure that he wants and stuff like that. So if that's the way we're going, again, all this tends to me as to why Lennon's just been left in place, because I'm thinking everything's going to change in the summer anyway. What's the point in getting rid of him to just bring Boggs in for 4 months? Might as well just let him make an arse of the season rather than let somebody else take responsibility for it.
Because obviously, when Rodgers left, Rodgers brought in a totally different culture, dynamic to the club. The structure of the tap to bottom was totally changed. And then they're bringing on Lennon. That doesn't fit with that structure. So as you say, it might nobody direct the football route, but Lennon doesn't fit in. You can't bring a manager in and then stick with the same training that manager's done. That doesn't work. So, but for me, I think the dream for me would be Ralf Zaniek. I think it's obviously known as Joban route. Listen,
this.
What's
that, sorry? No, what I was going to say there, though, is in fairness to Lennon, and it's not often I'll say that in this current climate, but in fairness to Neil Lennon, when he first came in, when Rodgers left, and he did say, I'm not changing it in training, was because we were knee-deep in a season there. There was too much happening, and he appreciated that if I come in new and try and undo everything he's been made for the last 2.5 years, whatever it was, it's going to upset it. So let's just keep it. You're right, when it then gets to the summer, he says, OK, we're doing that, now we're going to do matter.
Aye.
He's kind of fell in between.
He's kept it in a way. But Ralf Zaniek, I think it's obviously, listen, there's probably zero chance of happening, right? But you like to speculate and just obviously talk about managers you like at your club. But actually, he totally transformed, obviously, Salzburg and then Leipzig. He transformed the youth system. He made them counter-attacking, and he brought in this new kind of playing style, which I don't know the name. I know the name, but I'm not going to say it because I'll bulge the name up. But basically, he kind of brought in that kind of type of play about obviously high press, win part possession, all that carry on. And I think for me, if that was if he could get him, because obviously guys like Klopp and Tuchel, they all say he's brilliant. They all look up to him. So as we've spoken about, you've got to look at the board. Will the board appoint somebody like that because you need to splash money? Probably no. But on as a fan, if that's the guy who we can get, season books will fly off the shelf because you know you're going to get success with him because the youth system will be top notch. Your development squad, getting your reserves, if it's development squad, they'll be brilliant. And then your first team, you know you're going to have a plan. I've read about him and watched about him. He says you've got to have a plan in place, and I don't think we've spoke about Robert. We haven't got a plan now.
No, Ryan, we've not got a plan. We're losing all the cream of the youth that we've got. We've lost two to Bayern Munich, one to Man City. Calvin Hapler signing a contract with Red Bull. Red Bull, sorry. We're losing Karamoko Dembele. Obviously, there's something wrong with producing the youth now and trying to keep the youth at us, the talented youth that we've got. So, to me, that again, that's where a director of football needs to come in to structure all that, because it just doesn't seem right at all. We shouldn't be losing our cream of talent to these big clubs, because I reckon these big clubs, they're not going to get as much opportunity as they would get at Celtic. No saying they might go in and be brilliant and get a chance at these clubs, but surely, as a young boy, it'd be more appealing to stay with Celtic and try and break into Celtic's team than it would be Bayern Munich or Man City. I just feel like, as Sammy says, we need a director of football, we need a different direction, we need a young manager who's going to come in and transform the place and get the fans on board and give us back a brand of football that we actually can enjoy. And the players, I don't think the players and your team are playing as a unit. I think there's a lot of individual performances and some decent ones at that. But to me, there's got to be a togetherness that we are lacking this season. And I think that's probably where we need to... Maybe the big goalkeeper might need something around the lines because it's disjointed. Maybe that's what Ayeti needs. Maybe that's how Duffy's been after the boil. I'm not saying it is, but just because there's no great togetherness at Celtic, you know, a lot of things could to do with that. The full fact is the management team, to me, John Kennedy and Neil Lennon, aren't they together? Not as individuals, and I think that's what's wrong with the club. Too many individuals at every level, just in my opinion.
I agree with that there, Robert. And the point that you made at the start of that there about the young players, so I know, Brian, we're going to discuss obviously any. We're two thirds of the way through January, right? I don't want to spend any money this month. I don't think there's a point. I don't see what we're going to do. When you talk about young players, it was wee boy Welsh. I thought wee boy Welsh was one of our best players against Hibs on Monday night. It comes into the weekend against Livy and he's got to let Beacon back in. No wonder the young players are going somewhere else.
Fiona, Sammy, sorry to cut you off, but see, obviously, at half time, sorry, before the game, Welsh interview, and then he's on play.
Again, nobody's talking.
The PR, again, wrong.
No, exactly. I thought that young boy, he was flung into the deep end in the first Rangers game, when he was to play right back, totally hung out to dry then, and then never seen again. Brought back in on Monday night against Hibs, and as I say, I thought he played relatively well. All right, he get caught out of the free kick. Then my issue with that goal that Hibs scored now, why Shane Duffy was meant to be your commanding centre back, Martin, near post on a free kick like that? You go to the back post with a boys like Libby Dratton and deal with it. Anyway, Welch is then tucked away. Dembele, I'm torn between that. Dembele's a bit like when Islam Feroz a wee bit for a few years back. There's all this great hype about him, but when he's played, nice wee flashes, but he just looks too lightweight. I think football even just getting both buttons in the park. So I'm not, it's a shame that we'll lose the talent, but I can understand why the young boys are gone, because they're looking good. In Scotland, I should be able to get into the first team here and play football, and there isn't a route in it. And I think if you're talking about changing the mentality of the club, our team, our starting 11 should maybe have 6 or 7 players that we've brought in, and then 4 or 5 guys who have come through the system that were our own players that we develop and we move on. And then maybe we do sell them for. But, you know, if Callum McGregor went this summer, we'd be looking at 20 million plus, probably. That'd be a good return for a boy who came through our academy and we managed to keep the legs what I think about twice. That would be decent enough. And if we were doing that every year, well, that's how we need to generate income. Definitely happy with that. But in terms of going forward for the rest of that season, I'd be the goalie again. You mentioned the goalie. I would just leave Barkas and goals now. He's another one, I think, he's been hung up to dry a wee bit this season.
Aye.
He's maybe not been great. He's not made any match winning saves and all that. See, if you think of the goals that have been flung in, Hazard, it's a bit of a buy because he's young, fair enough. But he's dropped a few goals in. Bane's dropped a few in. I can't really think of Enton Barkas. The first goal against Rangers in the first game, we've done a wee bit better with. But I can't think of too many clangers that he's had. He's just not been excellent. He's just been a bog standard goalkeeper. I'd give him a run so we can see if he's any good or not. I would give the boy Welsh a game, but then Neil Lennon won't because near Beacon is his pal to play near Beacon. And to go with Robert's point about just a disjointed team, 100% look at that. The front two don't look like a front two that are united. I know we all want to believe that Edward and Griffiths are a great partnership and it's York and Cole. It's not. It's a great forward and a good forward, enjoying the fact that there's a big over through between them, but they don't look like a partnership that completely understand each other. Centre backs, but last season Ayer and Julian seemed to be a partnership. Not that tough. I'm ending Marcus a wee bit here, but Neil, another goalie, he's coming in a new country, probably doesn't speak English, he's coming in and he doesn't even set centre back in the front of him, so he doesn't know what he's doing half the time. All that's on a manager. You set the spine of your team, you make it solid, and you work for there, and we haven't done that. So, no, I wouldn't be lending any money, and I wouldn't be getting any players for the rest of this season, unless Edward is sold. The window, or he goes, or Ayer goes, and he goes, numbers when it gets maybe, and then I would score loan somebody. I wouldn't be committing too much of their money. You're going to be changing your entire coaching team and management team in the summer. I wouldn't be committing any of my money to players that a new manager comes in and rate them, doesn't like them. But that's why young players are gone. But isn't there a route through the first team?
I've kind of spoken about myself to my old man and stuff that the youth don't get a chance here. You see guys at 16 playing in Borussia Dortmund's first team. I understand that they've got better coaches, they're more talented already, but to get up to speed with this game, you need to play. And that's what we spoke about as well, how maybe the reserve football or coach football has to get back in, because these boys are the there's only so much development you can get playing against guys your own age. Obviously, back in the day, they played against big men and the first teamers, and they get kicked about, and you kind of get shown and spoke with the first team players how to play the game. And I think they don't get that now. But I don't think, I'm agreeing with you when it comes to the route to the first team. I think you need to be, I think nowadays you need to be really extra special, like your McGeady's and your Forrest when they first came in, to actually get in the first team, because, as you say, you don't really get a sniff, really, unless you're really exceptional. I think you'd agree with that, Robert. I know when it comes to the youth, that we've got to have a structure to get them in a wee bit better, because, again, they could be our sell-on value in the future.
Aye, Ryan, we've spoken about it. As I say, it's a million times. We spend £2 million a year on our youth setup. I just feel we should be producing a bit better. And I don't know if it's due to we're over-coaching young boys or taking the goodness out of them. I think we need to get down a bit of a foreign route when it comes to coaching, because I think we're kind of hammer throwers, coaches, Scottish coaches. I just feel like a passing, a good young coach coming through foreign would be good in that structure. And an ex-player, like a Lubo Moravchik, teach the boys bare feet, things like that. Just get a wee bit different. And I seen a thing that Borussia Dortmund did, and it's like a big circle, and it's balls get fired out at you, and there's targets, it beep. And I just think we just need to delve into more technology, things like that. I'm not saying Celtic hasn't got that, but things like that, I think, could be the future. As a coach, it's like a big circle, and it's like balls get fired at you, and it'll beep behind you to the right-hand side, so you'll need to turn to your left and play it off that beep. And then one will get fired to you, you'll need to turn reverse, bang, hit it off the right. And I just feel, I'm not saying Celtic need to invest in that, but I think that's what's going to be the future of football. A lot of this electronic things and stuff like that that might need to get brought in. And I think it will improve players' touches and using their both feet and stuff like that. It's just a thing I'd seen on YouTube. You can look on it yourselves and let us know what you think of it. But just, I think we need to just kind of get modernised with a youth setup and try and produce players. Everybody in the world tries to do it. We all try and copy the Ajax model. But we've got to try different things and just see how we go with it. I just feel there's a lot of difference things that we could try. With £2 million a year, I think that's a lot considering in Scottish football for youth setup, because a lot of people haven't even got that budget for their first team squad. So I think we invest a lot of money in it. And I just feel we should be getting a bit more joy at it, at that money. But it's like everything. You're not always going to get what you want in it. That's just my view on the setup, the youth setup.
What was telling about that was last week. We lost four strikers, right? Four first team strikers. We did not have another youth striker.
Because he's the one at Dundee.
Why have we not got? So, see if you look at domestically, we play 38 league games in roughly 10, maybe cup games if you're in both cups, right? Why are we constantly always playing the same 14, 15 players? See if we're on a good run and we're at home to whoever's bottom of the league, be it Aki's or Ross County or someone, that's the game. Don't make five changes, don't make four, five, six changes. But you can't, at that point, to drop a player out and bring somebody in. You know, Lennon's great at bringing somebody on in the 85th minute. We've all played football. You brought him with 5 minutes to go. What is the point? You'd rather just go and put your play zone and just get further now, because I'm hardly going to touch the ball. We don't have a young striker. With the boy Aitchison, who looked a bit promising and all the rest of it, never got played, and we ended up just getting rid of him because he wasn't getting in the first team. We spent money bringing in four strikers. We don't need four established first team strikers. Two or three max with a 16, 17, 18-year-old, the best that you've got, who's there, who gets 20 minutes, giving you 3-0 up against a Motherwell or a Hamilton or something. Right, Edward, off you go. Give the young boy a good 20, 25-minute run so we can start. If he's no good, then we know we can get him out and bring a next one in. But there are certain positions where we've made it a wee bit easier to get in. Ralston has probably played more games. I don't know many games Ralston's played, but see if somebody told me how many he's played, I'd probably be stunned. I think he's probably been a lot more than you think over the years. Tierney obviously got his chance. But you look at Jeremy McGregor, probably the two best young Scottish players in recent years, and you forget, had it not been for Ronnie Dyler, we would have lost both of them.
Well, can I speak to you about that? I would like a guy like Ronnie Dyler in to take over the youth setup, because he was good at bringing Tierney in, he was good at bringing McGregor in, he was good at developing players, and I think the Celtic job was maybe just too much for him, because it was a lot of strain and, you know, the pressure had been. But a guy like him behind the scene, because he's very enthusiastic about bringing young players, he's done it everywhere he's went, he's been a good coach. Let him even be the top coach in the youth setup and let him develop our young players, because he was a likeable guy. It was just maybe went a wee bit stale. But you remember he got that wee Odegaard, he brought him through, he was the one that developed him. So maybe bring Ronnie Dyler in to take care of the youth setup and be the director for under-23s done and develop our young players. That's maybe a guy that would be ideal to take over that side of things.
See, as well, I think whoever comes in, the new manager, they've got to bring in somebody for the youth setup that's, as we've spoken about before, Robert, it's got to be a plan. It's got to be a 4, 5, 6 year. It's got to be the same guy, not just 2 years, somebody else. You've got to stick with the structure, stick with the plan, because if you're going to chop and change, the youth system's not going to get any benefit. If it is, for Tom's sake, because obviously we had we're going to stay for years and Tommy Burns, and some of the youth guys he brought through there were brilliant. You guys, obviously we spoke about Phil McGeady, your Simon Ferry came through, your Jamie Smith, Donald Deed, all the guys, and they came through because it was structured, they were all together all the time, there was the same managing set up, so I think we need to go down that route again. Again, football's all changed, so we know that they can't go on day the jobs and they can't do this. Football's all changed and it's changing for the better on the football side of it. So I think we need to get somebody in. If it is somebody like a Dyer White who's just obsessive with the youth and development players, because that's as much as Rodgers as well was a fantastic manager, but he developed the team that he took care. You guys like Armstrong were flying, fucking McGregor again, flying even more.
And I think
Bayata,
I would
give my left horn for Bayata and Simonovic again to help us out, because my other joint, I'd rather have two average centre backs that know what they're doing and do their job than two guys that obviously Ayers. For me, Ayers were one of the best players this season, but Julian, he's come in, he's looked after Boyle. Duffy's, I feel for the guy in a way. I think he's totally, his confidence is shattered. I think the best thing to do, in my opinion, is just send him back. I know we need centre-backs.
Back,
I know we need centre-backs, right? But I know Sammy says no to spend money. See if we can get a centre-back who's maybe a free agent or a free transfer. Bring him in, because I don't know if we can survive this year without another centre-back come in. I really don't, because Duffy's not going to do it.
If we're going to bring a centre-back in, given the nature of what our problem is, I wouldn't be going to try and sign a culture centre-back. I wouldn't be going to try and sign a Julian. I'd go and sign, and folk will agree with this, right, but see if it wouldn't cost a great deal of money. I'd go and sign something like that boy, Porteous. He's not going to be a first-team player in 3 years' time unless he completely revises. But take a minute. We need an arsehole when we're team. And I think if you've ever watched his play against them or when he plays against Rangers or whatever, he's an arsehole. He winds players up, he trips them up, he gives them a wee boot in the arse. But you know what? We don't have anybody like that in our team. Just now, somebody, we need that big, dirty Scottish centre-back mentality.
A good player.
He would cost you £1.5 million maybe at most, no a big wage, and you would always have a place for him in your squad. What I don't want is the endurance spending £3-4 million on somebody. The next coach, what we've established, if you look at our managers, from Bayler to Rodgers to Lennon, is there a thread between them and their styles? No, not really. We are only appointing coaches who have the same style that fit the mold, and that's the point. You get directly to football, and he makes sure whoever's coming in a coach, so you're not going from, I don't know, not going from an attacking type manager like a Rodgers or something like that to go and getting a 5-4-1 Rafa Benitez coming in next. Then all the players you've got are now used to the next manager. You're getting the same style. So if we're going to go and sign somebody, get somebody for the SPFL who's not going to cost a lot of money and will be a decent squad player for the next few years. I'd probably rather Porteous than the boy Gallagher at Motherwell, but I appreciate the boy at Motherwell is probably a bit cheaper, and what he would be coming in for, fair enough. But I just wanted to get somebody who would come in, fill in the numbers, and he'll do his job for 6 months. And you know what? You mentioned O'Dea there. when he was in one of these positions that a lot of youth players only get a chance to sell you by luck. Mm-hmm. It just so happened to get in because there was too many injuries or suspensions. They get a chance and actually be all right. Otherwise, they would have never got a chance. Maybe that's the case of the Gallagher or Porteous or somebody. They come in and for the next 6 months, they actually impress. And the new manager goes in and someone goes, there's actually a player in there. I'm going to run with him. I would much rather we done that than we spent £4 million on somebody that comes in and actually doesn't is no use to in the summer.
Well, Jack Henry's having the season of his life. He seems up to fourth in the league. He's scoring regularly. I'm not saying he's the answer, but maybe under a new manager, he might be a good player. You know what I mean? It just, you look at John Stones down at Man City. He had an absolute hellish time, wasn't he, working for him? Now he's a first pick in the Man City team. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Jack Henry, but just the guy maybe just needed to get took out of Celtic, out the firing line, and develop yourself as a football player.
I think Jack Henry would do a good job for a Hibs or an Aberdeen or something like that. John Stones is an example. I take your point. He's from the league. John Stones was a good defender and then got tried. He's not playing pretty decent. See, you want to sum up how bad your season's been. Take the last 2 minutes that we've discussed it. I've actually seen you would like to have Boyata back in your team. And Ireland's been more good player. If you put Boyata in the front team, he would be worse than Buffy. Because Boyata's biggest problem was, see, when we were playing Burley, he looked good when we were good. I would hate if we're in the stage with Edric Boyata and Jack Henry or solutions, we'd rip off what's happened.
I just thought that obviously, boy, I'd have done my not, mate, but I just think that because I would rather have Shane Duffy, I feel obviously Boyata's been and gone, but I just think I feel for Duffy in a way. I think he's just come up here in the fullest era with a Celtic fan, 10 in a row, and I obviously we don't know which, I don't think he's had the best personal lives, and I think that's maybe still in his football thing, we don't know, but I just think, in my opinion, for his own sake, I think Celtic would just be best to send him back because for him to get another team, see people is another 4 or 5 months when he gets totally embarrassed again, nobody's going to buy him. So I think in our best interest, his best interest, if it means sending somebody a free transfer or somebody for a few hundred grand, if it means doing that, then do it. But in the last wee bit, obviously, you were talking about coaches, bringing obviously better coaches and whatever. I've been saying obviously guys like Frimpong and Mikey Johnson are no good enough, right? Maybe for me, I think Frimpong's not a right back. We've all said relatively new, he's a winger, probably right. I think if he was maybe better coached with people, he actually might be a top player in the future. It's just I don't think some of the players are coached very well. I'm more Frimpong's biggest fan, but I think the guys on Mikey Johnson's either, but if they're coached better, I think they might become better players, and if they are coached into the team, into the mould where we want, with a better manager, I think they could benefit as well.
Frimpong's still young enough that he can improve. I don't like this image that folks say that Frimpong's a winger, because he's a winger, no matter whether you play Sunday League or Champions League, right? You've got one job, across the ball. I think he's a good wing back. I don't think he's a full back. He's defensively, he's not strong enough. But he's a good out ball. He's got good pace. He really needs to work on his crossing. But I wouldn't write him off. He's like 19, 20. They're like a decent coach will get at him. I like Mikey Johnson, but he's went backwards. And I felt sorry. I thought the Hibs game, it looked as if he had decided that he had to be the man against Hibs, because every time he got the ball, he was trying to beat all himself. He wasn't releasing the ball early enough, and he was trying to do too much. I still think there's a player in. I don't know why we've got El Unity. El Unity does man nothing. I would rather give Mikey Johnson the rest of the season a run and send El Unity back, Mikey Johnson a run in the team, because I do think there's a player in. But you're right, any coach and develop, and Neil Lennon and John Kennedy don't seem to be capable of doing that.
I feel the three players should be sent back. Duffy, Laxell, Elanusi, wasting money that we don't need. As we say, we reckon the season's done, so what's the point in wasting money and keeping them up?
I'm no Laxell biggest fan. I think, have you ever seen a guy who looks so not in control of the ball? he always looks off balance and the ball's spinning away from him, and he's always tackling something. But the fact is that our only other left back's Greg Taylor. And as much as I don't think there's a difference between the two of them, I wouldn't be comfortable going to one fullback for the rest of the season. But you're right, he's only one of the three lone players that I would keep about.
I think when he first came in, he was very impressive. Again, I generally think he's regressed as a player under us. I think McGregor's regressed. Scott Brown's getting older, but Scott Brown's the only player he was. There's got other guys who have regressed. El Hamid, for me, regressed big time again. I thought when he came in last year, he was brilliant, man. That game against Rangers, he was same as Julian. Even Ballon d'Or, he was superb against Rangers. Obviously, he's away now and gone, but I think the players, I know Scott Brown says that the players have just not performed, but we all know there's something else, because the players have regressed big time. McGregor, for me, has been a shadow of the player. He's still in glimpses of the games. Well, brilliant. He's covering the ground. But I think some of the players are regressing, and that's what I don't like. Players are regressing.
I think we've seen the old McGregor since Sorrow came into the team. I think when you put Sorrow in the game, you take Brown up, you free McGregor.
He's driving forward.
Forward. He can play 5 yards further forward. And I actually think McGregor's looked a lot better since Brown dropped it. Done with babysitting Brown. He's having to do Brown's running and cut cover for him. But whereas he doesn't need to do that for Sorrow, and in this Diamond 4, he's allowed to play further forward. He's allowed to go on the ball and go forward. And manipulate attack for a wee bit more and get more involved, whereas he was constantly on the back foot, and he's always looking about where's Brown. But you know, it's like he's taking his elderly dad out for a walk and he's letting him after the end. He's constantly looking for him, where's he wandering, and then he can find him. Whereas with Sorrow, we can leave him to do the defensive stuff. But I agree on the rest of the players. Too many players with battles. I think El Hamid's clearly got personal issues, because it's clearly home trip and he wants to go.
But
there isn't a player, would you say,
that
the player
not
scored who's improved this season?
Probably only Tumble. But we all know Tumble's quality for playing in Scotland. He got 15 goals or something last year to a Motherwell team, and he's come in for me. He's one of the only guys who I'm going to build a team around him now.
He can punt Christie. Take my personal opinions of Christie. He is the replacement, allowing us to sell Christie. If someone wants to get us £10 million for Ryan Christie, that's great. So we've got ready-made replacements. And that's what we should always be doing. We should be identifying who's going to replace Javier. We should be identifying who's going to replace Edward, etc. So, yeah, I agree. Sorrow and Turnbull and McGregor, the midfield players, and we should be that way for the next couple of years. That's what we should be looking at. We should be saying, right, that's our centre. We now look to
And then obviously, guys, the last wee bit is obviously tomorrow's game. Robert, we've got the plastic pitch against Livingston. It's going to be a hard game, because as we've seen on Saturday, we fight for as a unit, like we're Norman Dane. The pitch is always a bit of a leveller. We always have tough games there. We've not played well there recently in the last few years. So obviously we've got the players back. Obviously, we need to get a win. What's your thoughts on the game tomorrow?
I don't think we're going to win, and I don't want to sound negative on us, but I don't see it happening, mate. People are saying you've got your big players back. These big players have maybe only been training on their own or no training. I don't know with the self-isolation, what they have today. I just feel... We didn't beat Livingston there last year. We got beat 2-0 and drew 2-2. A very tough, difficult place to go. I just feel the morale of the team's dipped again. I just feel probably a lot of players won't really want to be getting 100%, even if it is the big hitters coming back. Let's say Edward and Christina, are they going to really give 100% for now to the end of the season, knowing that they're gone in the summer on a plastic pitch? They're going to be diving into, they're going to step back for tackles and maybe high balls that's going in, like a guy's going to go early tapping him for a header. They'll maybe just take a wee step back. That's just obviously me probably looking too much into it. But
I don't see a positive result, mate. If I'm God's honest truth, I'd love to see us getting a positive result and putting a wee bit of pressure on, but I just think things are not going to be looking too rosy tomorrow, mate. I'm going to be watching it through the cracks of my fingers.
And yourself, Sammy?
I'm maybe a wee bit more optimistic than Robert, but I think it'll be a tough watch. But I think we'll get a 2-0. But one thing I'm being is, I quite fancy getting myself a couple of SPFL match balls, so I'm going to go and hang about the designer outlet and catch some of Ryan Christie's shooting if he's back tomorrow. I think there'll be a few changes. I probably would actually, although I'm saying there's no much, I'd probably bring Taylor back in at left back and Gilak's out a bit of rest because he has played quite a bit. You're right, the front field, but I think we'll go to kind of Barkas and go back to Taylor. Frimpong will play right back. Probably Beaton and Ayer will play centre back. Oro, McGregor, Christie, Turnbull, Edward. I mean, that's going to be because Cam is the one that's, I know, that's following confirmation of the players. The one that's something that it's in Cham, if it's one of them, obviously somebody comes in. I think we'll go back to that system. I think it'll be a tough game, but I think we'll get a 2-0. It'll be a urgent win. Birmingham Livingston are probably going to play the same players at the weekend. They put a lot of effort in the weekend. By the way, just sort of note, see the amount of press that they got suggesting that they were unlucky not to beat us. Folk must have been watching a different game for me. What Livingston played all right, but I don't remember Hazard making that many great saves and them pepping their goal. I thought they were a functional team. I just think that we will have enough to, like I say, it'll be a tough watch, but I do fancy to do enough and get past that.
I am kind of a wee bit more positive, but I do think it will be hard. I think the park, before playing in Arsenal ourselves, you know what it's like. It's, it is a leveler. But I just hope that Lennon can fire the troops up and we do, as Robert says, maybe get a result and put a bit of pressure on Rangers. But we all know it's just all about applying pressure now because it's going to be very, very hard, as we all know. We hate to admit it, but it's going to be hard. But I appreciate your time, boys, and the Celtic Now and for the podcast. We'll be back at the end of this week, reviewing the Livingston game. Hopefully, a positive result. But once again, lads, thanks for your time, and I appreciate it. Hail, hail.
Enjoy
your
time, boys. Thank you. All the best.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. We can't deny the need to fly.